know this, but everybody has a need. I mean, that's one of the reasons that that Pastor Michelle had us pray for each other, because everybody has a need, whether you want to admit it or not. And see, when we begin to live life and see things that way, then we begin to look at situations differently. You see, everybody has a need. And if you don't realize it, everybody in this room has an answer to somebody's need. And when you see yourself as that way, when you begin to view that way as the world, because we all know the world's jacked up, but things begin to change when you just don't see the bad, but you begin to see how you specifically begin to fit inside of this world. You see, you're here to meet somebody's need. You see, that's what this whole thing is about, a soul-winning summer. It's about people rising up to see needs and to meet them. You know, here's what I want to do. Before I get into things, before we pray a little bit, I want to go ahead and welcome up somebody special real quick. Where's Janaea? Where'd she go? Oh, there you are, front row. Get up here, girl. And today she's going to share her testimony, her story of what God's done for her.
Okay, my testimony. Okay, so I've been coming to the church for since first grade. So I've grown up in church, and just God has just always been close with me. I've always just been praying for my friends, ever since I was little. And then in 7th and 8th grade, I kind of just got into myself, into different things, and I'm with friends and just boys and just, that's an awkward stage in life, middle school, it's kind of awkward. But definitely that was a time where I just kind of just lost myself in the world, and I definitely was just because I was close with God, so being apart from God was hard. It was something that I wasn't used to, and something that it was just different. And I, in 7th grade, I was just in the world, whatever. And then 8th grade, it really hit me, and I started making wrong choices that were really bad. And I just became really depressed and really hurt and broken with everything. And I just, different stuff in my family was happening, and I just kept on saying, why, God? Why? And, I never questioned God when I was little, just because, you're told, and just, praise and worshiping and everything. But I never questioned him. I never put why. And that's just what really separated me and God for the long, for a year. And I was just saying, in that time, I just lost completely who I was. And I was so confused, and I was so hurt. And I just remember, just crying, just randomly some days, just, being, I don't know what's happening. I don't know anything. I just don't know who I am anymore. And it was, the darkest time. And God is just, he's always trying to pursue me. And through the whole thing, Janae, this, I still was going to church and stuff. And he's always trying to pursue, but the why was always there. And so, that was when I was finally okay, God, I just need to go back to you. I just got really depressed. And my mom just was Janae, take Breaking Free. You need to go through it. It'll help you out. So I was okay. So Breaking Free is a program at our church, if you don't know. And it's just helped me so much. It's just shown me just so much. And so I took it, and God is he seriously worked me through the process, showed me my hurt, and showed me what I need to change. And I had to do a lot of writing and journaling and getting closer, getting back to my relationship with him, getting back to that closeness with him again. And so through this church, through Breaking Free, this church is so amazing. And all the people who are supporting me, all my friends and everything, it was just so supportive. And it really got me out of that rut. And it really began to show me, Janae, you have a purpose. You have a destiny. And, when I was confused, God showed me light, and he brought so much light into my darkness, into my sin, and into my shame, and I was now healed, and I was now forgiven, and I was now this person that can live in freedom and to share the gospel with other kids. And seriously, it's so awesome how God just uses you after you're healed just to talk to people, to just to share so much. And sharing this testimony is just, I know some people are out there and they feel alone, and I know I felt alone, but definitely this whole church is amazing. It's people that love you and really care about you. And I'm suggesting you guys should go to Breaking Free. You can sign up. It's definitely time to sign up, and you can start in the summer. There's no school, and so you have free time, and it's super awesome. Best decision ever. And definitely this church has just helped me so much, and God has definitely, of course, been through it, and God just works through this church so much, and it's awesome. So God has just been so good. So yeah, you guys should thank God.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacob. Grab a seat. See, that's kind of what I'm talking about. When I say that this world is full of need and that we're here to begin to be a part of meeting those needs, you know, every person out there has a need. Even Janae, she grew up in church. She's always been a good person, a good kid. But even within that, there's struggle. Even within the nicest, most kindest person that you know of in school, in your family, there's still a need that needs to be met by Jesus. You see, we need to realize that every person with a beating heart, with air in their lungs, every person walking the face of this planet has a deep need that only God can fill. You see, every soul is needy. Every person is incomplete apart from God. And you and I, if you call yourself a Christian, if you're a person who believes in God, if you're a person who's doing the best you can to follow after Jesus Christ, somebody who follows Jesus, then you, my friend, are the person who has the ability to meet and complete that need. You see, we need to begin to see ourselves as that person, a person who can win souls, if I could even put it that way. Whereas Janae, her soul was in need. Her soul was beginning to get dragged down by different distractions and ideas. Depression was beginning to take hold of her life. But it took her mother. It took her friends. It took somebody else helping her to pick her up and to bring her through life. You see, you were never ever meant to go about life alone. And you were meant to be around people who want to encourage you. You were created to be somebody who encourages and picks up other people. And we need to begin to see ourselves as that. If you guys got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. You see, about a month ago, prom was happening, right? Anybody go to prom? So good. Did anybody dress up real nice at prom? Did any of my gentlemen wear pink, salmon, peach, fuchsia? Just asking, you know, it takes a strong man to do that. I know we got lots of strong men up in here, right? But it was about a month ago in May. It was prom season. Even a couple weeks ago for some of you guys, because some people, I don't know, they got prom late or whatever. April and May, and it begins to happen. Well, anyway, down in Florida, something happened. I saw the news story, and it really kind of blew me away. And it's a picture of I think what we're talking about today. You see, there was about 20 seniors from a school down in Florida. It was Western High in a city called Davie in Florida. And they were in this huge Escalade, a limousine, and they were all dressed up to the nines. They were rolling. They were laughing. They were just, you know, having a good time in this limo. And all of a sudden, the limo driver is on the freeway hitting a speed limit, and they begin to see this minivan swerve a little strangely in front of them. Matter of fact, the limo driver said they had to slam on the brakes in order to stop from hitting it. The whole limo began to lurch forward. You know, the kids inside the limo began to scream because they didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, they began to, in the limousine, they began to see this minivan. It was filled with groceries. The family inside was just coming back from the grocery store. It was filled with people. Seven people were in it. And all of a sudden, the minivan flipped. It flipped over. Rolled, and as it skid to a stop on its side, all of a sudden the limousine driver stopped the limousine. They begin to shout and yell, and in the middle of all the confusion, all 20 of those teenagers ran out of the limousine. All 20 of those teenagers ran out of the limousine. They began to run towards the minivan. It was right around 6:43, and the driver said, "I almost hit him. I had to slam on my brakes. With 20 kids in the car, it's really difficult to put the brakes on." 17-year-old Krista Pulsini said that she heard yelling and crying as the van's passengers tried to free themselves from the car. She yelled out, "Hold on, hold on, we'll try to get you out," as they yelled. And it says they didn't know exactly what happened or what was going on, but they began to pull at the doors. One of the kids even kicked in the rear window. And one of the teenagers pulled out a 2-year-old. They pulled out a 9-year-old. There's a couple of grandparents in there. And it says, person after person, it said, one woman began to cry, "My baby, my baby, my baby." One of the girls just picked up the 2-year-old and gave it to another one of the kids. one of the girls said that she saw the little boy, the 9-year-old. And he was just crying and crying, and she tried to keep him calm. Within 5 minutes, the fire and the police arrived, and the people were already, the teenagers had already pulled everybody out. And after the firemen and the policemen came on scene, you know, they began to kind of clean up and pack up. But this is one of the pictures from the scene that one of the kids posted on Twitter the other day, the day right after. If you guys have it put up there, this was the scene that they had there. There's the limousine, the glass on the ground, fire. The firemen came. They're trying to get everybody taken care of. One of the kids is in serious condition. You know, the others came out with scrapes and bruises, and another person was critical. But they all survived because of the quick action of what was going on. It says, they said after this, it says, the seniors went on to their prom at the Westin Hotel at the Fort Lauderdale Beach. It says, one of the girls said, I went to prom and a lot of the girls were helping get the blood out of my dress. But it was all good. I mean, imagine, a lot of people, they do their hair and they get their makeup. Nobody really puts blood on their dress, you know. But see, this is what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. Luke, the 10th chapter, there's a story that maybe you've heard of, at least a term that you've heard of called the Good Samaritan. You see, there's 20 teenagers on their way to prom, suited up, looking good, thinking about what they're going to do, their favorite song that's going to be played, thinking about maybe who they're going to dance with, you know, how fresh the guys look. The guys are thinking how nice the ladies look. They're messing around, joking, and all of a sudden something interrupts their whole evening. And they choose to do this. I mean, they could have told the guy, hey, look, we're paying you by the hour. You need to move, okay? But instead, the limo driver and these 20 teenagers decided to kind of let an interruption happen inside of their life. And they saw a need that they could answer. And they became an answer to somebody's need. A 9-year-old, a 2-year-old, and 5 other family members, all they wanted to do was get home and eat some groceries. You see, in Luke, the 10th chapter, it tells another story. I want to go ahead and read it to you. In Luke, the 10th chapter, let's go ahead and start in verse 29. It says this, and Jesus said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. He said this to a man who was asking about the law. And the man said, well, love your neighbor as you love yourself and love God. And he said, yeah, that sounds about right. But the man Jesus was talking to, he wanted to justify himself. He kind of wanted to get off the hook of doing things. He says, well, who the heck is my neighbor if I'm supposed to love my neighbor? So Jesus answered with a story. And he said, look, let me tell you it this way. A certain man went down from a city called Jerusalem to another city called Jericho. It was a really famous road that he was going. And it was famous because it was so isolated and desolate. It was kind of a scary road. It's kind of like going down E Street at midnight. Anyway, it fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes. And this man was wounded by the thieves, and he was left half dead. Verse 31 says, now just by chance, a certain priest had come down the road. And when he saw him there bleeding out, it says the priest passed on the other side of the road. Likewise, another man, a Levite, brother who went to church, a fellow who preached in church, a guy who knew what God wanted from him. It says this man called a Levite, when he arrived at this place where the man was bleeding, came, looked, and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, who was an outcast and a reject, the last person you would expect to help this man, as he journeyed, he came to where the man was, and he saw him. This man had compassion. So he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured oil and wine on him, and he set this wounded man on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. It says in verse 35, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. He took out about 150 bucks, 200 bucks, and he gave it to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of this man, and whatever more you need to spend to get him better, when I come again, then I'll repay you. So Jesus asked the question, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell to the thieves? Jesus tells this story about the Good Samaritan. You see, it's a story about a man who cares about souls. It's a story about a man who cares about seeing and meeting needs. It's a man who looks beyond himself. And a lot of times we live in a world that's very selfish, that's self-centered. And if you're going to become a person who calls yourself a Christian, if you're going to do this church thing, if you're going to live life the way it's meant to be led, then me and you, we need to begin to stop being selfish. And we need to begin to start being selfless. People who look at what other people need instead of what we need. You see, that's when all things begin to change in your life. You know, look, people get depressed when your life sucks, right? Arguments, grades bite, get dumped. You know, your face look all jacked up because you had too much chocolate the other day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when things don't go right, you get cut from the team. You know, all of a sudden, nobody wants to talk to you. People are stabbing you in the back. Look, depression comes when these type of things happen. But all of a sudden, you know, when we take our eyes off of our lives and we begin to see how we can meet other people's needs, all of a sudden, the world gets bigger than just us. You see, when our world becomes only big enough to handle our problems, then you're on a countdown to depression. You're on a countdown to loneliness. You're on a countdown to being bored and alone. But when you begin to take your world and you begin to live a life that's big enough to fit other people into it, their needs, when you begin to see what can I do to help other people, all of a sudden you got no time for depression. You got no time to be worried. You got no time. I got no time to get so fretful about my own issues because I'm too busy fulfilling the plan of God in my life to help other people. You see, these teenagers, their whole life stopped for a moment because the world became more important than a dance. It became more important than a $100 tuxedo rental. It became more important than a corsage and getting their freak on some dance floor. All of a sudden, their world became big enough to contain a family of a couple grandparents and small children. Their life became big enough to contain a trip to the grocery store gone wrong. And they began to help somebody else bigger than themselves. You see, the two men that passed by the Good Samaritan, their life was only big enough to think, I'm going to be late. Their life was only big enough to think, oh, you know, this guy is waiting on me. No, no, no. Their life wasn't big enough. Their life was lived too small. It only could fit their problems and their cares. But you see, the Samaritan's life was big. His life was enlarged. His life was big enough for another soul to be a part of it. He picked that man up and put him on his donkey, his horse, his camel, his rabbit, whatever he had, and he rode the fellow over to the inn to help him out. Yeah, there's something interesting. You don't got to turn there, but if they have the book of Judges 21:25, I want to read you a verse. If you guys got it, go ahead and put Judges 21:25. It says this. It says, in those days there was no king in the land of Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. See, we live in a world where nobody has a king in their life. Everybody does what they want to do. And that's why people are so messed up. That's why people commit suicide. That's why people cut themselves. That's why people starve themselves. That's why guys are chasing girls and seeing what piece of a girl they can get. Because there's no king in their life to tell them the way they ought to go. They're scrambling. They're looking to the left. They're looking to the right. They're at the end of their rope, so all they can do is they're grasping. Oh, girls. Oh, fame. Maybe if I just get all buff and swole, I'll be my life. Oh, but what about this? Maybe this. Maybe they're grasping at whatever's closest to them to make them feel good because there's no king in their life to say, no, that's dumb. That's foolish. That's stupid. Why you gotta be playing that game? Ain't nobody win at the end. You see, this land needed a king. It needed somebody to rescue them and say, look, here's the way out. This is the way things ought to go. You see, the people in that van were stuck and they were trapped and they had nowhere else to go. See, the man was cut and bleeding. He needed somebody to come and to show him the way out because he couldn't do it for himself. You see, Janae in her life, she had depression because she began to make decisions that the king wasn't asking her to make. So all of a sudden, she began to grasp for straws. You have friends who live like this every day. You're not any better than them, and I'm not any better than them. But you know what? They don't have a king to show them the way out. They don't have a king with armies to protect them. They don't have a king with a castle that they can retreat to. They don't have a king to decree goodness over them and say, hey, look, you're hungry, I can feed you. They are a people without a king, so they'll grasp at whatever garbage they can to eat. Whatever garbage they can find on the internet to put inside their mind. Whatever guy will come along and tell them that they're pretty. They're looking for a king, and they're finding thieves to steal from them. I don't know if this is making sense, but there's souls out there that need to be saved. Just like when that van turned over, those seven souls in there needed to be saved. Just like this man that was beat up on this isolated road, he needed somebody to save him, or his soul was lost. Just like me and you, not too long ago, we needed Jesus to come along and save us. Because I don't know about you, but I was a pretty jacked up kid. 2 Peter 3:9, you don't got to turn there, but it's a good verse to memorize. 2 Peter 3:9, I just want to read it to you, and then we're going to go on and move on to the next piece here. It says 2 Peter 3:9, it says this. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning, the king is not slack concerning his promises. He's not going to wait too long. He's going to come in just at the right time. As some people count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any man should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. You see, God's not mad at you. He's waiting for you to say, King, 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 my Lord, I need you. I need you to show me the way out. You see, in Luke, the 10th chapter, you're there. It says in verse 33 and verse 34, it says this. It says, the Samaritan, it says this. It says, a certain Samaritan, when he journeyed. See, this guy was going somewhere. This guy was on a trip. Maybe he had a family reunion. Maybe he had an important appointment with the dentist because he had a toothache. Maybe his brother would just had a baby and he had to go see this little baby for the first time. Maybe the brother was just out trying to buy a new house and he had an appointment with a realtor. I don't know. Maybe he just had a date with a cute girl with some ice cream. Because you know, we like cute girls and we like ice cream. Don't want to be late for that. He was on a journey somewhere. He had places to go, people to see, he had people to meet and things to do. And here he is on this journey, and all of a sudden his brother's out here bleeding out. Maybe the next guy will do it. Maybe the next person. Well, you know, the last two people said that. Maybe the next guy will do it. How many next people have to come along before somebody helps somebody else out? He says he was inconvenienced. You see, if you want to win souls, if you want to help friends, it's gonna require you to be inconvenienced. The only way you're gonna help somebody if it inconveniences you. That's what it takes. If you're inconvenient, if this is a bad time to help somebody, then that's the right time to help somebody. Because it ain't never gonna be the right time to help somebody. I mean, seriously, when is the right time for somebody to get into a car accident? Right? Is there ever a right time for a van to flip over when you have your grandkids in the car?
Probably not.
You know? Because the worst time is when you have 20 teenagers who don't know nothing about nothing on the way to prom. Because it's the last thing they're thinking about. It's always going to be inconvenient. It's always going to be embarrassing. It's always going to be at the wrong time with the wrong person. It's always going to be the person you don't want to talk to. It's always going to be the wrong. I don't want to pray for this guy. This girl, you want me to help with what? No, no, no. That kid smells weird. I'm not going to pray for you. You want me to what? No. You don't shave your legs, that's okay. I ain't judging. I'm just saying, some people think that's strange. And I'm not going to judge. Okay, see, I'm just saying, look, man, it's never convenient to help somebody. This man was on a journey. But the only thing that makes it the right time to help somebody is to see somebody in need. Look, all you have to do is read the Bible about Jesus, and you see every time after time, Jesus was interrupted, and people bugged him, and then he healed people. It's always to be inconvenient. And then we read on, it says this. It says, the man was on a journey, and he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. You see, if you want to win souls, it's going to take you being inconvenienced, and it's going to take you having compassion in action. It's kind of weird the way things are nowadays. Everything's a joke, you know what I'm saying? Everything's a joke. Everything's a joke now in these days. All you gotta do is watch movies. I saw a commercial the other day. I'm not even gonna say the movie because some of you guys probably want to see it. I don't want to make nobody feel bad just yet. But it's like everything's a joke. People's pains, situations, world situations, religions, Jesus—it's all a joke. Nothing serious anymore. I mean, we hop online and we shoot people in the head for fun, right? Right? I'm talking about modern warfare and all, like a Battlefield and, you know, Halo and all that kind of stuff people like to do, right? I mean, this is what we do for fun. Everything's a joke. Everything's enjoyable. I mean, that's why people buy Grand Theft Auto. So they can steal cars, hit people with crowbars, and run innocent people over, right? That's why we do this. You can't do it in real life. You want to pretend to do it. Nothing serious now these days. But it's time that we fight for compassion again, because this is real. Look, life is short, hell is hot, and some opportunities only come once. And when you see somebody in need, we need to learn how to have our hearts break again. And the problem is our hearts have already been broken by other people, so we don't want to give it up to be broken. But it's time that you allow your heart to be broken. This man said he had compassion. Didn't mean he thought he was better than him. Oh, I'm a Christian. You're a Buddhist? Oh, well. At least my God's real. I'm not saying that. All right? Compassion says, I understand what it means to have a need because I have needs. It's not about my religion is better than yours. It's not about I'm doing better than you. Let me help you out because you're really dumb. No, it's everything to do with, hey, look, I need Jesus just as much as you need Jesus. So how about we get this Jesus together? See, you don't make a friend. Look, all my church people in here who grew up in church, you don't make a friend so you can get them saved. That's not how it works. You make a friend because people need friends. And when you become a real friend, then they meet Jesus. I mean, if you're just making friends just to get them saved, you're using people. That's not genuine. That's like somebody want to sell me, that's like somebody wants to come and buy me ice cream just because they want to sell me a car. That'll make me really mad. Because I've had people try to do stuff at me before. I'm like, psh, you're a punk. I don't want to buy your stupid thing. Your energy drink or your insurance. That's like old people stuff. You guys will get it one of these days. But it's true. Now, I'm going to be a friend because somebody needs a friend. Jesus didn't heal people just so they'd start going to church. No, he healed people because they were hurt. And because Jesus healed hurting people began to follow Jesus. If you live your life the same way, loving people just to love them, not to get anything back from them, then maybe people will begin to say, yeah, I'll go to church with you more often. See, it takes compassion and action. This man didn't expect anything. He didn't even expect a thank you card from this hurt fella. He just said, you have a need, I'm going to meet it. So how heartbroken are when's the last time you cried? When's the last time your heart broke because somebody didn't know Jesus? When's the last time that you hurt because somebody else was hurting? It's been a while, then you need to begin to ask God to break your heart again. Let me wrap it up with this. It's one of my favorite stories, and I've talked about this type of thing a couple times before, but I just can't get away from it. But, you know, there's a man named Don Richardson wrote a book called Peace Child, and I love it. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. If you read it, then you need to read it again. But if you need to, go on YouTube and look up Peace Child. and watch the story. It's nuts. We've done it here in youth before, but it's a story of this man and his family that went to a small island right above Australia, and he lived with his small children and his wife into a tribe of cannibals, mean, nasty, murderous cannibals back in the 60s and 70s. And after a long time, they began to hear about and understand Jesus, and they began to give their heart to God. And these people who were cannibals and murderous people, they killed for fun. I mean, literally, that's what they would do. They teach their children to lie, cheat, steal, and kill. That's what they would do. They teach their sons to beat their wives. And they would teach their children to eat other people's flesh. That's the way they lived life in this little island. Well, eventually, they began to know Jesus. They began to change. And Don Richardson, the white dude, goes and he says he was out with a couple of them before. And a couple of the guys who had given their heart to God, they had gotten saved. And they were out hunting late at night. He says they were hunting out by the river. And they began to hear a noise. And it was a strange noise. It sounded like pain. So they began to run towards. They began to run towards the river. And in the river, they saw a boat coming at them. And across the river was a tribe that they had hated, that they had warred against, a tribe that had betrayed them and hurt them, a tribe of many people they had killed and eaten. And the boat began to come towards them between Don and a couple of the other tribesmen who had given their heart to Jesus. And the boat stopped, and in it was a man who was sick. He was pale. I think he had tuberculosis or something like that. And all of a sudden, they say, "What are we going to do? We need to help him." One of the men, one of the tribesmen said, "I know this man. I know this man. He's from that tribe. And I recognize him. Because years ago, our tribe, the Sawi people, we had given a baby to their tribe to take care of, to try to make peace. And years ago, this man, I remember him, this man killed that baby. The baby was my brother. I remember him. I can never forget his face." And here he is, sick and defenseless in this boat, coughing up God knows what. Don looks at the man and says, "What are you going to do?" And he could see the anger in his face with his spear in his hand. And all of a sudden, his face began to go blank. This tribesman of the murdered little boy. And he says, "We have to get him to help. He says, "Don, you have medicine. I think we can probably get him to help." And Don says, "Okay, well, help me get him on my back." Well, the tribesman whose brother this man had murdered, he says, no, God has forgiven me, and I need to do this. Put him on my back. Put him on my back, and I will carry him alone back to our tribe." So Don picks this man up and puts him on his back. The tribesman had taken the murderer of his little brother back to the camp so he can get medicine and help. The man survived the sickness because they got him medicine. And that was the beginning of a new peace between the two tribes. How inconvenient. How inconvenient to save the life of the man who killed your baby brother. How compassionate to look at the murderer of your baby brother and say, "This man did what he did because he doesn't know Jesus, just like I did what I did because I didn't know Jesus." That's the way we need to live our life. That is a soul winner. That is a person who cares more about others than himself. Doesn't make what he did right, but he made right what he did. So in your life, how are you going to live? Are you going to do what's easy? Or are you going to do what's convenient? Are you going to wait for God to drop somebody into your life to pray for that has no problems? Or are you going to find the roughest and the toughest? Are you going to listen to God's voice in the most inconvenient, the most uncomfortable, the most embarrassing of times? Are you going to risk friendship? Are you going to risk relationship? Are you going to risk your popularity? Are you going to risk your reputation to do what God wants you to do? Or are you just going to begin to live life and skate by and figure a church is something I can do on Wednesday and leave it inside the building? How are we going to live? How big is our God? How big is our life? There's 20 kids in a limousine stop their day to help a family. An outcasted man gave up his journey to help somebody bleeding. A mother and friends invited a good girl in a deep need to church, to breaking free, to pray and to support. And the victim of family crime helped the murderer out to know Jesus and to rescue life, the man who killed his little brother. I don't know about you, but I want to be a soul winner. I want my life to be bigger than just my own problems. And I want to make an impact around the world around me. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a good Samaritan. I want to be somebody who helps somebody. How about you? You guys got something from God? Let's give him a praise. Let's go wrap this thing up, man.